In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Being a tax collector was a pretty plum job in the days of Roman occupation of Palestine. It was a good job to have. It was powerful and people feared you. You know why? Because the Romans offered a kickback to the tax collector from those things that he collected. So for example, if I go to somebody's house and today, and they say the market value of our house is $750,000, and I go, looks more like $1 million to me. So your tax is not $75,000, it's $100,000. Now why would I be interested in that? Because I get 10% of what I collect. So I get essentially 1%. It was the way for the Romans to guarantee they had full taxes to support their various activities. Now how do we know this? Remember this, the parable of the steward that was getting fired from his job? And he said, quick, to the people that were in debt to his master. You owe 100 barrels? Write down 50. You owe 75? Write down 40. There was a lot of that going on. If I'm a tax collector, I may be disposed because I like you. Oh, your house is worth $750,000. Looks like a shack to me. Looks like $250,000. And you go, thank you for your clear vision. So then your tax is not $75,000, it's $25,000. Zacchaeus was one of these. It said he was a chief tax collector. You don't get to be a chief tax collector unless you are somebody who is going around looking at chief properties. It wasn't just the guy that had the stall that sold the camels. No. It was the guy that had the vineyards and had the fields and had the flocks. And Zacchaeus would estimate these things. And he was corrupt. He was corrupt. And he was filthy rich. Do you know what it means to be filthy rich? You got your money through filth. Almost everybody who is rich has taken advantage of someone. Every single time in their background, if you look closely, you will find that somebody poor has suffered at the hands of the one who is rich. Because if he's rich, he's going to strike a good deal, isn't he? He's going to be what people in the world say, he's clever. He's clever. No, he's a thief. He's a thief. The rich, if the rich person has a conscience, when Zacchaeus wanted to meet the Lord, something had already been churning inside him. And he made his confession to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. When was the last time you ever heard of a rich man doing that? Except on the day of their death. Because, you know, they didn't need it any longer. But when did you ever find somebody in the middle of life who was wealthy and said, here, take 50%. That's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus said, hey, here's 50. Then he said, because of course they're going to be detractors. You know, if somebody gives you a lot of money, let's say you win the lottery and you give away 50%, you're heralded as somebody who's great. But what about that extra 50%? Why didn't Zacchaeus give that away as well? He explains that if I have made any mistake in my estimation of property value, I will restore the person to whom I have injured four times his injury, as is in the law of Moses. So he kept this money back for restitution, not for luxury for himself, because he had come to this point in his life. He wanted to see Jesus. Now, of course, you know it's foolishness for a man of some dignity to climb into a tree. It makes the fact that he is short all the more apparent. It makes his shortcomings. When I say short, I mean short of those things that are necessary in order to meet Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? What are the other things that we hear about in the Beatitudes? That when you bring that forward as a part of your personality and as a part of your spirituality, God is now not just willing to meet you. He longs to meet you. He said, Zacchaeus, come down and make haste. For today, me and those who are with me, we are going to sup and dine at your house. We're going to be with you. Can you imagine all of the people who have the desire to see Jesus? Some who probably lined the street very early knowing that this was the route he was going to take. Have you ever seen a presidential entourage go through the streets with all of the black SUVs, all of the motorcycle police? The people that are lining, and well, if you like the guy, you're waving. If you don't like him, you might be doing something else. You might have a placard. But people did that with Jesus. They knew not who he was, but they knew that he was the creator of great commotion. He was the subject of a tremendous amount of curiosity. People wanted to know. People wanted to see. And Zacchaeus couldn't see. Couldn't see. So he climbed up into a tree. They call it a sycamore tree, but it's really not a sycamore tree. This is a word that, when it's translated from the Hebrew to the Greek, you lose the meaning. It's a fig tree. It's a fig tree. But the name for the fig tree sounds a lot like sycamore, which is sycamore in the Greek. Sycamorea is the Greek. Sycamorea. And it sounds like that. So they call it a sycamore tree in the Bible. But it's really a fig tree. Now think about the meaning of fig trees. How the Lord, who was disappointed in the one that bore no fruit, he cursed it and immediately it withered. But this tree bore fruit. The fruit of this tree was Zacchaeus himself. It was him offering his dignity, offering his confession, offering his money, offering his home, offering everything to the Lord. Everything. This was the sweet fruit. And this is the one, the fruit that slakes the thirst of the passion of the Lord on Golgotha. When he is crucified and he says, I thirst. You think he wanted a drink of water? I thirst for all of you. I want you to come. I want you to be with me. I do not want you to withhold anything from me. I want you to give yourself to me as I am now on the cross giving myself to you. I thirst. Zacchaeus was bad, but now you see him going into the air, lifted up as the Lord was, so to speak, being made foolish to the Greeks. Who would worship a God crucified? Who would do such a thing? What fools they must be. Couldn't you find a better God than to go rifling down the aisles of Kmart? These are the kinds of castigations that would be made had it happened today. Where did you get this Jesus from? Who is he anyway? Look what we have done to him. Where is his help? He says, Eloi, Eloi. Why? If he is the Christ, the chosen one, if he is God and the Son of God. Eloi, Eloi, my God, my God. Why is he saying this? Well, their ignorance is their shame, because they were willfully so. It was not because they did not have a chance to know. It's because they would not know. They would not. A person, some people think that, you know, my language is harsh a lot of times. There are translations in the Bible that the person who would not learn is called, in the Bible, stupid. A lot of you have told your kids never to say this word. But the reason why a word like that exists is because all other words at the time that it was introduced into the language did not fulfill the meaning that you would apply to somebody so disposed as not to learn when evidence was piled higher than their own head. Stupid. Got everybody's attention now. Even the people that were asleep. Stupid people. And I can show you in translations of the Bible. There are some translations, like in the King James, where they use a word that is so archaic that nobody knows what it means. But if you look it up, you find the same meaning. And I say this not just to be bold of speech or to be daring or to be controversial. I say this in the deepest meaning. There are people that are in this room right now that don't want to know. Year by year, they sit and they listen, if they listen. And it goes in one ear and out the other. They do not even try to accumulate. The few psalms that we say are memorized by how many? Even though year by year, the same people hearing the same call to prayer, and hear the hour prayed and don't know how to open up the Bible or the Agbeah, excuse me, to the proper location. They don't even know. Who are these people? What is the one word that you would use to describe these people, if not the word that I used previously? What would that word be? Do you have a favorite word? I know. My relatives. But I'm telling you this, not because I wish to appear to be sanctimonious. That means holier than thou. No. Because this was the kind of thing that Zacchaeus had to face. You know, when he was a chief tax collector, people were afraid of him. Because if they were on the wrong side of him, he could have estimated their net worth to be much higher and therefore levied a higher tax. There were people that were jealous of him that wanted his job. But when he started to make himself humble, to make himself poor, to make himself a disciple of this rabbi who had nothing but controversy trailing him, how do you imagine those people that were in the same business treated Zacchaeus? He knew it. He was one of those. That's how somebody in any top position always works their way to the top. They begin to undermine the people that are just ahead of them, to take their position. to point out the errors of the people that are their immediate supervisors, the ones that they are subordinate to, but they do not act in a subordinate manner. They act in a manner of great pride. You have to relinquish your pride if you're going to be like Zacchaeus. You have to embrace humble and put on the mantle of quiet. Now, I have to tell you that this is a really difficult thing for me personally. Some of you, I know where you've come from. This morning, as I got onto the freeway, the 605 freeway to come north, everything was in one lane, and people were behaving badly. People were making serious, terrible moves over to the far right to get into the far right lane, because that was the only lane that was open. And a priest is supposed to be a pacifist. Do you know what that means? It means I am not supposed to ever kill. Ever. I'm not allowed to go and shoot something. For example, if we were in a locale where people shot game and they brought it back to their table and the wife prepared the food for the table. I'm not allowed to do that as a priest. I'm not allowed to kill. I'm not even supposed to get angry. But I do. So when I say to you, pray for me, I mean that legitimately. It's not, I don't do anything. If you get to know me, if you get to know me deeply, you will know that I am very sincere in every single thing I say. So when I say pray for me, I mean pray for me. And I try to remember all of your prayer requests, every single one of you. But I tell you that we must live up to these holy words that we use. We must live up to the holy images that we have depicted all around the church and our iconography. We must live up to the holy lives that are led, that we read about in the Cynic Psar. We are supposed to live up to the holy image of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just speak the words. If I am only speaking the words, do you know what I am? I'm a salesman. I'm selling you a product. The product is Jesus. Isn't he sweet? Jesus. Isn't he peaceful? Jesus. He redeems. Jesus. He forgives. What a great product. I'll take three. And there are people, by the way, that sell it to you in that exact fashion. They will have their comeuppance, their reward. They will face these things. So I tell you now, pray for me and pray that I may more, in the time that God gives me, that I may conform myself better to the image of a priest than the one that you see before you. I hope at the end of my days that God will say, he was a good priest. This is what I'm waiting for. The same as you, and you've heard it before many times. Well done, thou faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you master over many things. I wish this for myself. I wish this for all my brothers who are priests. I wish this for our metropolitan and our bishops. I wish this for our patriarch and the whole general synod. But to live up to these things, as Zacchaeus turned from a little, greedy, insignificant man to one who made himself great by his declaration and by his action. Glory be to our God, both now and ever and unto the age of all ages.